Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. I am in a great mood tonight. I was just listening to some Michael Jackson, some Jhené, some Nelly, Where the Party At. I must have listened to that about 10 times. And it's a Saturday night, and I'm not outside. I'm here with you guys because I feel giving the people the information is more important than running the streets. I'm telling you, it's more important. It's more important. I would like to thank y'all for watching, for being here with me tonight. I need for everyone to make sure that you share out the show, right? It's a Saturday night. I know people is in. Share out the show. You know, and I got the phone lines working tonight. On my last show, when I had the two retired NYPD officers, the weather was crazy. The phone lines were down. The phone lines are open tonight, and you see it, 563-999-3714. Once again, 563-999-3714. Y'all see the title of the show, Can You Afford to Live in NYC Comfortably? That's one of the many topics we're going to discuss tonight. Not only that, we're going to talk about vigilantism inside the NYPD, right? And we got a very, very, very disturbing video that has been the talk of social media for the past 24 hours. You know, a lot of cop, what I call them? Copologists, people who make excuses for police no matter how wrong that they do, going at it with police and with fake aliases because for some strange reason, they got a lot to say, but not up under their real name. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss all of the, I got a whole bunch of video of fights in the subways. If you want to see some fights, this is the show that you tune into today just to show you how much anarchy is happening underground in the subways. But before I get into these main topics, I want to start off with a little bit of promo. So y'all already know, and if you don't know, now you know, like the great Notorious Big said. We are having an assault rally May 1st, 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. Everyone is invited. The strap hangers, the workers, the community, everyone is invited. We have to address this issue of anarchy in our subway system. We have to let them know that we're not safe riding the system, whether you're on the bus, whether you're on the train, because they come in with this propaganda saying that, you know, the subways are safe and this and that. The subways are not safe. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. Oh, it's only six major felonies a day in the come on, man. That don't represent safety to me. The next thing I want to promote is I'm have a very important show Wednesday, or this Wednesday, April 8th. Or let me see, is it Wednesday, April 8th? Let me see something. It's not Monday. Oh no, I had the wrong date. It's actually Monday. I left Wednesday. It's actually Monday, April 8th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I have to change that. Monday, April 8th, we're having a conversation with criminal family and employment lawyer Stephanie Nelson. So that's Monday, not Wednesday, April 8th. That don't even line up. Monday, April 8th, we will be having that very important conversation with attorney Stephanie Nelson. Now, let's get into some news. Let me get this pulled up real quick. And like I said, the phone lines are open tonight. 563-999-3714. We are going to talk about it all. We are going to talk about it all today. Let me get to this real quick for you guys. Get to this. All right, so I want to discuss some things. I don't know if you ever, I know transit workers have heard of this, but did you guys ever hear of a company called Corvell, and what they do is that Well, with the MTA, what they're attempting to do is force employees back to work before they can, when they get injured on the job, whether it's an assault, whether they fell down the stairs, hurt their ankle, hurt their shoulder, whatever it is. They hired this company called Corvell to handle all of that stuff. And this is what this is the agreement that the union actually made. See, this is the thing, right? So they act like that they didn't know what the MTA was going to do. They act like they don't know what the MTA was going to do. But I have the paperwork right here. This is the actual paperwork that shows that the union knew that we was getting Corvell. And I just want to pull up this next paper. You see the union counsel, Dennis Engel, who I believe he has an agenda. I believe he has an agenda because Corvell has put forced people back to work before they time, and the MTA and the union is in bed with each other via something called gain sharing and employee availability. And that's what they're using as early as Corvell, and it's not working at all. In fact, more employees are suffering more than ever via Corvell. The next topic I want to get into is this Tier 6 fight, right? And I know Tier 6, let's be clear about Tier 6. Tier 6 is an inferior pension compared to Tier 4, right? If you're in Tier 6, you're not going to be able to retire with the way that Tier 6 is running right now. That is a fact. You're not going to be able to retire the way Tier 6 is functioning right now, right? So what's interesting is this. The union has been listening to my shows, right? And I've been telling them, this is not how you lobby. You don't lobby in this form of fashion, right? They think that going up to lobby day is called lobbying. Lobbying, first of all, companies pay lobbyists to be up in Albany while the legislators are in session, right? So the union started listening to my shows, and they decided to create a trip to go to Albany outside of lobby day, after lobby day, exactly, right? But they still do not understand what it takes to be successful in Albany. That's why transit workers do not get anything tangible that's legislative. We don't get anything tangible legislative-wise, right? So this is what the union did, right? They went up there, and let me put this on the screen. Tier 6 fighters in the PAC ambassador program designed to empower our members with hands-on political advocacy training. This marks a historic moment for Local 100 as our Tier 6 fighters take on Albany. Outside of lobby day, union leadership and lobbyists spend countless time pushing the Local 100 agenda. That is a lie. President Richard Davis introduced this training program after years of prioritizing member education. This is one of many initiatives introduced by Davis as he builds towards a relentless fight that will withstand the test of time. From subways and buses to the state capitol, we're showing that the power of solidarity and advocacy, let's make our voices heard, let's fix Tier 6, right? Let me tell y'all something. With that right there, you would think that they're doing whatever they need to do, right? You would think, oh, wow, they're going up to Albany. They're fighting for us. But let me tell you what they didn't talk about, what happened in Albany. And this is from a Republican. I need y'all to pay attention to this. This is from a Republican named Dan Steck, right? And he let us know what happened when they tried to repeal Albany. Guess what? The same time that the union was up in Albany, right? So this says, I need y'all to listen to this clearly. Steck moves to fix or eliminate Tier 6 on Senate floor. Floor amendment to reform or replace unpopular piece of pension system defeated by Senate Democrats. Look, Listen to that clearly. Defeated by Senate Democrats in a party line vote, Senator Dan Steck today voted in favor of a proposed amendment that would dramatically reform the unpopular and deeply flawed Tier 6 of the state pension system. Since its enactment, Tier 6 has substantially reduced future pension benefits for thousands of police officers, firefighters, direct care workers, teachers, and other public employees, and caused major workforce recruitment and retention problems. Despite widespread agreement that Tier 6 must be remedied, the amendment was defeated by Senate Democrats in a party line vote. Time and time again, we've heard from local governments that it's harder than ever to recruit and keep public employees. Tier 6 of the state pension system is a major reason why. Despite this amendment's defeat today, I remain committed to fixing this longstanding problem and ensuring police, firefighters, educators, and public employees receive the benefits they deserve, says Steck. It's time that state government do right by our hardworking men and women and also grow our workforce by reforming or entirely eliminating Tier 6. Now, this came from a Republican. This is from a Republican. You expect for it to be the opposite. The Democrats want to reform Tier 6, and the Republicans' party line vote shut it down. It's the Democrats doing this to us, people. That's why when you are in the business of unionism and unions, you're supposed to be apolitical. And y'all remember that song? I keep reminding y'all the song. What have you done for me lately? Ooh, 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 yeah. The union need to have that mentality. They are in bed with something called political tribalism. They are do or die by the Democrats. This is not about being a part of a political party. This is about who is going to do right by your members. So you had the union up in Albany photo-opping it up, talking, and they talking with the same legislators. They talking to my guy, Al Taylor. They talking to Eddie Gibbs. They talking to all the same perpetual hamster wheel of people who they feel comfortable with. That's not how you lobby. Who is teaching them or who's designing this? That is not how you lobby. They doing this all for photo ops because there's nothing serious going on if they're not doing the serious work. I don't care what anyone says. Let's get to some more news. Did y'all see this? MTA wants to charge New York City Marathon $750,000 for every year for bridge closure and aims to recover lost toll money. Yo, let me ask y'all something. Is it me or does the MTA seem like a bitter ex? They seem like a bit ex. Oh, I want all the money back from every time y'all use the tolls. Oh, man. I mean, they are out of control. They are out of control. I swear that the MTA, they got to be a bit ex. They have to be a bit ex. So somebody need to do something, school them up or something. MTA is wild bitter. Let's get to some more news. Listen, y'all, let me tell y'all something before I continue. This cost of living, we're going to talk about the cost of living, but I have a very, very disturbing video to play for you guys towards the end of the show regarding a vigilante cop pistol whipping somebody. We're going to discuss that. And I wish some police officers call in so we can talk about it live on the air and work through some of this stuff. Let's talk about some serious crime that was false reported by Mayor Eric Adams, right? So New York City serious crimes hit levels unseen in two decades last year, even as Mayor Adams claims it's a perception problem. Listen, when you're dealing with politicians, the only thing that they care about is getting elected the next election cycle, right? Everything in this town seemed like it's smokescreen and mirrors. It's lies and deceit. technology, smoke screen and mirrors, and flat out just being dishonest. I do not care about the stats of the NYPD, the MTA, and the mayor saying that it's safe. It's not safe in the MTA system, specifically in the MTA system. It is not safe. And I'm about to play some videos for you guys to show y'all the round of fights, the rounds of tyranny that has been happening in the New York City transit system. Let's check out the first video.
What's going to do? What's
Don't stab me.
Like safe, but you want to know what NYPD say? It's only 6 major felonies in the subways, so I guess only felonies make people feel safe. Let's get to the next video. I don't think that people really understand how unsafe that is. Fighting in a group on a platform, a train could come by. It could be very, 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 very deadly, that type of stuff. Let's get into the next video. I'm telling you, these videos are crazy. Wild West out there. And look, I'm not done yet. This is the craziest video of them all that happened in the subway. Check this one out. Wow, a guy with one leg out there getting crazy. I'm telling you, there's nothing but anarchy happening inside our subway system. And one thing that you see in common, there was no police around. And you want to know what? I get it. NYPD cannot be everywhere at one time. I get that 100%. But you got to be somewhere. All of these people are doing things in the subways because they know that they are not going to see police officers, especially on the train. Police officers, I don't know. It's The way they deploy throughout the system, I believe that they are being deployed improperly. They're not really riding the trains. You don't see them on the platforms that they need to be on. It's really, really, really all over the place, right? And I get these videos almost every day, right? So I could literally do a whole show just playing videos and not say anything, right, if I decide to do a show once a week. But let's get into some cost of living. Can you afford to live in New York City comfortably? Right, and I'm going to put this picture on the screen. They says cost of living comfortably in New York City for a single person, you need to make $138,000, $138,570, right? For a family, $318,000, basically. For the national average is $96,000 for a single person and $235,000 for a family of four, right? Think about that. Think about that. In New York City, I'm going to focus on New York City. In New York City, a single person, $138,000. For a family of four, $318,406. Who's making that money besides the bosses? I don't know not one civil servant making $138,000 without killing themselves in overtime. I do not know one. I do not know one. Can somebody, like, think about that, $138,000. $138,000. Who could afford that? Matter of fact, let's look at the video. Let's look at the video.
We all know the cost of living has spiked in recent years, and now a new study looks at how much it takes to live comfortably. The study from the financial company Smart Asset defines comfortable as spending 50% of income on necessities such as housing and utilities, 30% for discretionary spending, and 20% for savings. Now, the study found the average salary needed to live comfortably in a major city is $96,500 for one person and roughly $235,000 for a family of four. But listen to this. The numbers are even higher here in New York City. Researchers say a single adult needs to make more than $138,000 to live, quote, unquote, comfortably, while a family of four needs more than $318,000. Now, the top three cities with the lowest salaries needed to live comfortably are all in Texas. Houston was the lowest.
Who's really making that type of money in New York City? Right? People think that transit workers make all the money. That's untrue. Matter of fact, let me play a video to show you how much a bus operator make, and let's see, can they live in New York City comfortably? Check it out.
How much do MTA bus drivers make? Starting salary for MTA bus drivers is $26.98. Full-time without overtime or differentials, that's about $56,000 per year. Top pay for MTA bus drivers is currently $38.54, and that's reached out for 6 years. Full-time without overtime or other differentials is about $80,000 per year. Since the TW Local 100 Union did sign a new contract, salaries will be going up in May 2024 to $39.70 for top pay. It will then go up again in May 2025 to $41.90 per hour. Full-time with no overtime or other differentials is about $85,500 per year. Now, since payroll data is transparent, we found that over 50% of top pay MTA bus drivers made over $100,000 per year and found that a good number of bus drivers even cleared $125,000 per year with a lot of overtime.
Listen to what he said. A lot of bus operators cleared $125,000 a year with a lot of overtime. That still does not amount to the $138,570 it takes for a single person to live comfortably in NYC, right? They still fall up under that threshold. Let's look at another title. Let me see. Let's look at the cleaners.
Can MTA transit cleaners make more than $85,000 per year? Starting salary for MTA cleaners in 2024 is $19.60 per hour. Annualized without overtime or other differentials, that's about $41,000 per year. Being part of the MTA includes comprehensive benefits like healthcare, dental, and vision plans, as well as PTO. MTA cleaners also get a transportation pass and are part of a pension plan. As an MTA cleaner, you'll also be eligible for overtime and night, weekend, and holiday differentials. Top base pay as an MTA cleaner is currently reached after 6 years and is currently $32.67 per hour. Annualized with just base pay, that's about $68,000 per year. By May 2025, dollars are expected to go up to $34.83, which is about $72,000 per year annualized. Now, when you factor in overtime and the differentials that we talked about, we found that most top-pay MTA cleaners earn more than $80,000 per year. And with the salary increases by 2025, we'll find that most MTA cleaners make more than $85,000 per year, with some even clearing more than $100,000 per year with a lot of overtime. MTA cleaners are part of the TW100 local union, and New York City employs about 3,000 MTA cleaners.
According to those factual numbers, it does not seem like MTA cleaners could survive comfortably in New York. Also, let's look at a train operator. Check it out.
How much do MTA train operators make? Subway edition. Starting out as a train operator, you usually only make a few dollars less than top pay, which currently in the yard is $40.58, which annually is about $84,000 a year. When you start out as a train operator, you must choose a division. There are three divisions, Division A, Division B, and Division C. Division A are the numbered subway lines, 1 through 7. Division B are the lettered subway lines, and Division C are work trains. You can only be part of Division C after 18 to 24 months as a train operator. This is important because for your first 1 to 2 years as a train operator, you'll most likely be waiting in the yard in order to pick up a shift. In order to reach top pay, you have to work 232 days on the road, which means you're working with passengers. Most train operators reach this in 10 to 18 months. Top pay on the road is currently $42.24, but will be increased in 2025 to $43.72 per hour. Top base pay in 2025 with no OT or other differentials is about $91,000 per year. Just like other MTA workers, there is a comprehensive health insurance, dental, vision plan, as well as a pension plan. MTA train operators also have a $1.53 night differential, as well as for every 2 hours of overtime work, you get an additional 1 hour of overtime for free, which means that for a train operator, once they have enough seniority to take a line, they can then get a line that averages 50 hours of actual work per week, which will be paid out at 55 hours per week, 15 hours of overtime, which with no differentials is about $125,000 per year.
$125,000 a year seems like a lot of money, but in New York City, once again, got to show you guys, for a single person to live comfortably in New York City, $138,570. For a family of four, $318,406. How can you live comfortably in New York City with the type of wages that we are making? Yes, if we lived in Atlanta, if we lived in North Carolina, South Carolina, making these wages, we will be living very comfortable. But in New York City, I've been saying this for a very long time, we cannot live in the city in which we work, right? I've been calling this for a while. We've been called transit refugees, right? We are transit refugees. That's what we are, right? We got to travel. We living in New Jersey. We're living in Connecticut. We're living upstate New York, Pennsylvania. I even know some transit workers that's coming from Delaware to come work here, right? All because they cannot afford to live comfortably in New York City, right? And the people who are saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm doing good, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, y'all got to understand what's going on with the playing field. The MTA right now, they are looking to cut overtime, right? You have to look at what you can make as far as your base salary is concerned. Because everything outside of your base is extra, and it could be gone at any given moment. Any given moment, it could be gone. So can you really afford to live in New York City comfortably just going off of your base salary? No, you cannot. None of our base salaries crack $100,000 in transit. None of our base salaries. As far as the rank and file is concerned, yeah, with overtime and all that other stuff, yeah, you could reach $100,000. To reach $138,000, you gotta be living on a job. You have to be living on a job. And we keep getting sold out contract after contract after contract after contract. They love to say, oh, you know, we pad and bargain with – who they be padding bargaining with? I forget who they padding bargaining. We padding bargaining with them. Wow, you only see this is what they not supposed. This is what they supposed to tell you. You're only supposed to padding bargain with people who have the same type of job like you. We're not supposed to be padding bargaining with the DC 37. We're not, right? We're not supposed to be padding bargaining with police officers, right? NYPD should be padding bargaining with the cops in Long Island, right? New York City transit workers should be padding bargaining with Long Island Railroad and Metro North, right? Teachers should be padding bargaining with teachers. There's no logical reason as to why the padding bargaining excuse is allowed to live contract after contract after contract. Right? Oh, we got 3%. They got 3%, so we're giving y'all 3%. Oh, Metro North got 3%, so we got 3%. And this is what they don't understand. The Metro North, them guys, they base salaries is real close to $100,000 if it's not $100,000, right? So 3% on $100,000 is different from 3% on $80,000. It's not the same. If you want to pad and bargain, then we got to match what it is dollar for dollar. The percentage don't mean anything. You have to match dollar for dollar. Anything other than that, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. And Local 100, right? The Transport Workers Union. We have been sold out for the past decade plus, right? More and more transit workers are having a hard time making ends meet, right? This is a fact. We are having a hard time making ends meet. And if we don't do that over time, our kid can't join that after-school program. If we don't do that over time, we cannot take our family out on a nice vacation. If we don't do that over time, we can't take our family out to a nice dinner, a Broadway play, and things of that nature. People automatically think that overtime is a part of their base wages. It's not. The company could take it away at any given moment. But when we have union leadership who want to fool the membership, who want to run scams on the membership, who wants to lie to the members, they run that percentage line on you. No, we have to look at our raises as a dollar for dollar raise with the people who they comparing us to, because those other entities like DC teachers, and they make more money than transit workers on a base salary. They do. Insane that we go for it contract after contract after contract. And for some strange reason, it seems as if a lot of unions are either they weak, they don't know what they're doing, or they purposely selling out their members. Because the way that these things are going is making absolutely no sense whatsoever. Now, let's get into some NYPD news before I get into the main topic I want to talk about today, which is the NYPD vigilanteism. And I want to remind y'all that the phone lines are open, 563-999-3714. I definitely would like to hear your comments, questions, or concerns today about the show, right? Also, if you're watching live like right now, please make sure that you like the video. And if you really mess with us, you could donate via Cash App, $PROGRESSIVEACTION100. So the NYPD came up with this new initiative called Operation Fair Play. And the gist of it is that they're supposed to be putting 800 cops at the turnstiles to make sure that people are paying their fare. Right? Another PR stunt by NYPD. Because they don't mean what they say, except when it comes to police in the black community. But we will get to that in a second. Let me get to this caller real quick before I jump to that video.
And the gist of it.
Caller 6226. You're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from? Caller 6226. Nothing. So let me do that. Let me play the video about the Operation Fair Play. Check it out.
Yeah,
How does it look like Operation Fair Play is working? I mean, this is a big, big joke. This whole city is becoming a comedy skit. I don't get what's going on, right? Everybody, all these agencies, they just worrying about their image. MTA worrying about their image. NYPD worrying about their image. Right? The mayor's office worrying about their image. There's literally, like I said, like they like to say, literally an open house in New York City Transit. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe that all transportation in New York should be free. I think the billionaires, if they get the billionaires to pay the right amount of taxes, the transportation system will be free. We won't have to be worrying about a congestion tax. Everything will be operating normally. But in this city, they love to make the ends meet off of the backs of the average working man and woman, right? The billionaires are left alone. Everyone else is left alone. And that's that. Let me get to a caller real quick. Caller 6483, you're now live on Progressive Action TV.
Hello, Tremont. Celso Garcia, bus operator, Bronx.
What's going on, my brother?
Yeah. Just, you know, the frustrations becoming very difficult to do this job. They're making it very difficult for us to make our money, extremely difficult to survive in this city, especially having a few kids. We're not making it there. We're not making it, definitely not making it as much as they think, because remember, they also take out a lot of taxes from us. They take out pension. They take out health care costs. They take out disability. It's not included in our paycheck. So by the time the deductions, we're not even making what they say we're making. So we're working against the grain. You know, that's the thing they're not taking into consideration, that we just paying a lot of our money is coming out, and while other people are just getting over and not having to pay, while we're paying the majority of our checks to supplement the system, including the MTA tax and all types of taxes that they take out. So I'm not going to put excuses for the I know they say we shouldn't worry about the fare. But how long can this last without the system breaking? I feel like they're just looking the other way because they don't ride the system. So they're letting it fall apart because it's like, how long am I going to be working here? Transit workers work 20, 30 years in the system. Upper management lasts 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe four, and then they move on. And that's a long time for them. And then they move on, and they pass on the bucks from the next person to the next person to the next person. But the taxpayers, the workers, we're all the ones that get stuck with it in the system. Like right now, they, you know, with the congestion pricing they're bringing in, who's going to pay that? A rich person, $15 is not a lot of money. A poor person, $15 is a lot of money. And they say take public transportation, but at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, there's not a lot of service. Sometimes it'll take me 2 hours to get home. I used to work really late night. It could take me 2 hours, 2.5 hours to get home. And they're cracking down on the tolls. The MTA is being very money hungry with the congestion pricing. They are demanding that people pay more and more, and a lot of people don't have other options other than having to use a car. especially let's say as transit workers, we have to get to work no matter what. So what happens? Okay, you don't need a car. Okay, take public transportation. But that's adding more time to the commute daily to get there, especially when we work different hours, off hours. So the whole system is bad. It's against the worker. And it's stacked up, the deck is stacked up very high against the regular person. And then we, the ones that get disciplined, we're the ones that get in trouble at a high rate, transit workers. We get suspended at the highest rate of any other uniform agency. They give us penalties, they give us fines, and, you know, we got to speak about it, speak the truth, not be scared that we're going to face consequences. It is what it is. They got to show the public the truth because in the end of the day, we're stuck with the bill. That's my main point, that we're stuck with the bill. We're all stuck with the bills, all the, you know, the regular people, the working people, we're all stuck with the bill. That was my main point. Why are we stuck with the bill? And that's my question. Why should we be stuck with their decisions that they make from the top down? Thank you. Have a good night, okay, Tramiel? And I appreciate
you too.
Your show.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Why are we stuck with the bill? We're stuck with the bill because we have union administrations who sell us out. That's how it works. Let me get to the next caller. Caller 4324, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Are you calling from?
My name is Pauline Palma. I'm currently a car equipment cleaner, and I have a question. I've been wanting to ask this question for the longest.
TWU
is our union, right? Why is it we can't shop around for a union, like a union that is over Long Island Railroad or a union that is over Metro North? Why are we stuck with Local 100? Like, we don't have a choice. If they're not doing what's right for us, especially when it comes to these increases, when it comes to contract time, they getting dollars per year every time they get a raise, and we're getting cents to the dollar. We're getting pennies to the dollar, actually. And where our raises are nothing compared to theirs. Is there any way we can have a way to shop for a union?
No. See, let me tell you something. The union, CWU Local 100 is not the problem. The problem is the administration, right? The union as a whole is a great thing. We have, every 3 years, we have an election. We have an opportunity to vote them out. They are the problem. The union as a whole isn't the problem because you could shop around, go get a new union, and have more sellout people negotiating your fate, right? So the issue is the administration. We have to get rid of the administration. We have to get rid of this members first, Stand United ideology. They're trying to rebrand themselves. It's not working. And we must be more involved in the politics in our union. We got 40,000 members. Only 12,000, 13,000 the most vote. You know, we have to get more people involved. We have to start having these conversations with our coworkers. We must start spreading the information of these shows so that the members can learn something, right? Because nothing else is going to work. And if we decided to shop around for a new union, we would have to get ours decertified first. So we would have to, the members would have to come together, vote, decertify the union. Then we go have to go like a year without a union, and then the earliest another union could come in is a year. So now you asking your coworkers to not have any union representation for a year when you got an employer like the MTA.
Right. They're killing it for the next slate that might come in And I'm hoping that somebody could overtake them. I'm really hoping that could happen because they are running us. They're running this union into the ground. Like, if they're making it seem as it's like when the new slate does come in, it's going to be so much that they're going to have to do to get back up to a level where people will be able to trust the union again. Because they, at this point, who trusts the union? Everything is, oh, I didn't know. They're acting oblivious to everything. Like, for instance, this Corvell situation. I've been on workers' comp twice already. Thankfully, I didn't have any problems. Not like that, where you have to wait a whole month get seen by Corvell first. That's asinine. And I was saying earlier, I commented on YouTube saying that thankfully that PPO situation, it is going to expire next year, December 31st, as according to the agreement that they signed off on. And I'm hoping that it goes and doesn't stay any longer than that, because that's ridiculous, trying to force people to come back to work while they're hurt, to get injured even more, and possibly even go out on SSD. But this place is not a good place to work anymore. It really isn't.
I agree.
The benefits are getting less and less. Our medical, go somewhere with that noise. Our benefits are getting less. Medical, dental that's a crying shame. Nobody wants to take our dental. They're far and few in between the dentists and good ones at that. The good ones, that they would take it at first, and then when they realize that they're penny pinching, they don't want to pay the dentist for their work that they've done. Who wants to work with a company? Who wants to work with a company that does not allow, that doesn't pay on time? Good dentists, they just drop it. They give them a chance, but then they drop it when they realize that they're penny pinching and don't want to pay for the services. Nobody wants to work and not get paid. And you tell them, you call them and to let them know. I mean, just do that. You call them and let them know that the dental is horrible, and they still go with the same dental no matter what feedback you give them. So this, they're running it into the ground, and I really do hope people start to open their eyes and wake up and realize that they have to start voting and stop complaining amongst one another and not putting the ballots into where it's supposed to be. Well, get these people out of the system because they don't care. They don't care.
I agree. I have no disagreement there. Anything else? You want to conclude your comment? You want to conclude your comments?
No, not right now at the moment. I covered everything that I said that I would definitely do because I have some coworkers who always say, why don't you call and ask? I said, I am going to call. So. one more thing.
Thanks.
As the new workers come in, I always tell them to listen to your show. As a matter of fact, I saw a new bus operator, and I put her on as well to let her know how it is down here. And I always let them know about your show. I let them know about the safety rally that's supposed to be happening on May 1st. And I'm going to be there, definitely.
I appreciate it and looking forward to seeing you there.
All right, then. You have a good night.
Thank you. See, that's what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. You know, when new workers come in, you put them on to what's really cracking over here in TW Local 100. There's nothing cracking but progressive action. Nobody is giving the information on the level that we're giving it, on the scale that we're giving it, and interactive like we're giving it. I don't control who calls into the show. People call in. I take their call. I answer the questions to the best of my ability. And we have conversations regarding our workplace. Now, for everybody who's watching right now, can you please hit that subscribe button on YouTube? If you're not subscribed on YouTube, can you please hit that YouTube subscribe button for this page? We're about to get this, turn this show up a notch, but we're about to talk about vigilanteism in the NYPD. So last week, and NYPD captain, who was going to work, pulled over a car for some strange reason. And this happened. This is going to be graphic. So you guys be prepared. Check it out.
Hey!
Yo, get out!
Yo, bro! Chill! Recording.
I am.
Yo, bro.
Hey! Bro! Don't do it! Don't do it! Stop! 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 Bro! Bro! Please don't! Stop! Stop! Look at me! Look at me!
Would you believe that you have people out there saying what the cop did was okay? Time and time again in our community, we see vigilante cops doing this. Me, myself, I've been harassed by NYPD simply for coming home from work, complied with them, still thrown against the wall, thrown against the mailbox, illegally searched, illegally frisked, all because I fit the description of somebody, right? That officer, I don't care if he had, it came out that he had crack cocaine in the car. They said that he was selling it. They don't even know if he was using it or not, right? Because this is the NYPD. They make up their own narratives. They said the car was stolen. The car is not stolen. He'd been driving that car and for like 2 years already, right? Why was the pistol weapon necessary of this man, right? Could you imagine? See, look. The copologists, right, people who make excuses for police officers no matter what they do wrong, they see nothing wrong in what that police officer did, right? Three things is obvious in that video. The cop don't know how to fight. He seemed very unhinged. He had a chip on his shoulder. And he can't handle himself. What that police officer did, and I'm going to play the video again, what that police officer did was not only dangerous to himself, it was dangerous to everyone who was in the vicinity of that incident, because you do not fight with a voluntarily. This was a voluntary action by this police officer to engage in a fight with your gun in one hand and you trying to control the situation with the other hand. If that individual would have attempted to take that gun and they would have struggled to fought over that gun, it could have been deadly for a whole bunch of people that was there. It could have been deadly for the guy. It could have been deadly for the cop. It could have been deadly for the people who was around rightfully recording the incident, because that police officer was not looking back. And I'm gonna point something out to you guys, because this happened within the 79th precinct in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, and that officer is a captain in the 79th precinct. And I want to be clear, that officer was looking back not to see if someone was going to jump him, because that rarely happens. The only time I've seen that happen was when the migrants did it the other day and the police treated them with kids' gloves. The black people do not fight the police in these communities. They don't. police officers is not trying to arrest someone and people is fighting them. That rarely happens. He was looking to see who was around just in case if he decided to do a very egregious act. That's why he was looking around. Let me play the video again.
Hey!
Yo, get out!
Yo, bro, chill, chill! Chill!
Yo, bro!
That NYPD captain of the 79th precinct name is Adam Munoz, right? He was looking over his back, once again, not to see who was possibly coming to jump him, but to see who was recording. But you want to know what's more alarming about that interaction? If he is the captain of the 79th precinct, the community in which he made that stop, and he was actually doing community policing, why is he worrying about who's behind him? If he had a relationship with people who's in the community, why is he worried about who's behind him? How are you a captain and you don't have a relationship with the people in the community? That where he did that at was probably less than a mile from where the precinct came from. Why he doesn't know he's safe in the community in which he works? How he doesn't know that? And what I'm going to do is that I got some explosive news for you guys to show you who he really is. But before I do that, let me get to this next caller. Caller 0231, you now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? You calling for?
My brother, Shamel. You already know who this is. I ain't got to say my name. But I'm thankful that you're back with us, brother. You hear me?
I hear you.
I really mean that, man. You've been through a lot for us, brother. You stand for what you believe in, and you're willing to do what you got to do. But like I say, trans is going to be what it is because you know we're all minority. That's all it's about. Like I say, we're supposed to get hazard pay. We're supposed to get the hazard pay. Yeah, you know, come on, you know what this is. I ain't got to say my name. Like I said, I hope my man Drama give him a shout out. You know what I'm saying? My man Norris give me a shout out. You know what I mean? But, you know, I vote for y'all. And like I said, with the union situation of voting, hear me out good. And I hope MCA hears me. You know we got a punch card and you swipe in, right? You know, you punch your card, you know. It's in your time card. If we put the voting ballot on the time card, we would have no problem. The supervisor's there. They collect it like a new time card. And they hand it in. If there's 800 people in the barn, there's 400 people on the platform, 20 people on the platform, you punch your card. Everybody know how to do it. All you got to do is make sure the supervisor hand it in. Real simple. No problem. Now, but it's congestion pricing. Now, we work for MTA. MTA. It may take a while. You know the word. Like I said before, We are under that banner, Metro, North, Long Island Railroad, whatever you want to call it. We're all the same, but, you know, there's a color line. Keep that in mind. You don't believe me? Take the train. Either one, Metro, North, Long Island Railroad. Take one. Take a ride. You'll see the difference. You feel different. You know what I mean? But like I said, we need that for everybody. Transit. We are transit. It should be no, oh, you want to work for transit or you work for Metro, North. No, no, no. We're under one banner. We're supposed to have Easy Pass. We are MTA. The problem is they don't want us zipping and dipping, you know, going up and down the highways. I'm going to use that word. Now, us living in a different area, Delaware, you know, Connecticut, you know what I mean? They don't want us making no big money, big figures. I'm going to keep it at 100, you know what I mean? So, but like I said, it's bad to see that MTA has become a money grabber, and we are the ones suffering. Yes, we are on the platform. We're walking around the system all day, eating peas. You know what I mean? It's sad, but like I said, look around. Go to different stations, and you'll see the difference. I'm trying to keep it clean a little bit. But back to the police, they're supposed to stand by the turnstile. That's their job, to make sure it's secure. Secure. Key word. Remember, protect and serve. I'm using the word for transit as a patrol in the station. Secure. That's what they want to do. But they don't want to do that. You know, they want to walk around. You know, they ain't got time to be involved. You know, it's our problem, not theirs. Everybody want to pick and choose what they want. But the bottom line I'm trying to tell you, we're supposed to be MTA. We should have Easy Pass automatic. That's the point I'm trying to really make. And we are, like I said, we're on the front lines. You understand? We're on the front lines. But I'm going to cut it short. But I do want to salute you, my brother, and I'm glad that you're back. But you see for yourself, because remember, you're a target, brother. You're a target. Because you keep it real until
yeah, I know.
Like I said before, it goes to target when you said about the cops harassing you. They know who you are. And like I said, if you try to stand something for right, I don't understand that part. That's the part I don't get. If you try to make things better, and you ain't said nothing wrong out of it to make the people come after you, that's the point I'm trying to make. You say things to try to make things better. And like I said, you got my vote. You, Eveline, all y'all, you know, the three musketeers, I call y'all, you know that. I'm going to try to keep it clean again. But like I said, the point is, they don't want to leave, man, because they know when y'all come in, it's over. So they got to enjoy the ride. They got to enjoy the ride. You know what I'm saying? But they don't want us making no $100,000, period. They don't want that. They'd rather you travel back and forth, go to the situation, you know what I'm saying? But I really called up to tell you, I salute you, brother. I'm glad that you're back with us, and I mean that, you know what I'm saying? Because you've been through a lot, brother, and you are a prime example what a person really is who stands up for what they believe in, you know what I'm saying? People talk about it, but not about that life. And you are about that life, my brother, and I mean that. You stand on your shield, you understand what I'm saying? You and Drummer, you know how you are.
I appreciate those words.
You know what time it is. Yeah, yeah, I salute you, brother. I salute you. But, you know, I'm going to holler at you, but I will see you personally, and then we will talk. Because I know we're going to wiretap AI and all that stuff. But, like I said, MTA is supposed to be included. We're supposed to be included to all the benefits with no problem. Easy pass, hazard pay, you know what I mean? But, like I said, you are a prime example of why things are different. But you're standing up for believing what's right, and I respect you for that. You know, those who don't, they know why.
I appreciate it.
You know what I mean? But I respect you, and I salute you. Keep that in mind, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing. All right, bro?
I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Thank you.
You already know. We're talking. I'm hollering. And April 1st, come out, everybody. Come on out. All right? Peace.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, for sure. Should I play the video again? Should I play this disturbing video again? I'm telling y'all, I got some. I'm going to play the video, and I'm not going to take no more phone calls until after I make my point. Right? Let me play the video again because I got some very, very important information regarding that police officer. Check it out.
Hey!
Oh, get out!
Recording. I am.
Yo, bro.
Hey!
Hey! Come on! Let's go make that
Please stop. Insane. So like I told y'all before, that is NYPD Captain Adam Munoz, right? Let me introduce you guys to who he really is. Adam R. Munoz, he's a captain at the 79th Precinct since January of this year. Active also served in Patrol Borough, Brooklyn North, 75th Precinct, Brooklyn Court Section, Specialized Training Section, Military and Extended Leave Desk, 103rd Precinct, 107th Precinct, Transit Borough, Anti-Terrorism, Narcotics, Brooklyn North, and all that other stuff, right? He's a Hispanic male. He's 42 years old. He started in 2004. He got his 20 years. He can retire. He's making $176,000 a year, right? It gets more interesting, people. Check it out. Captain Munoz has 15 complaints, 49 allegations, 7 substantiated, 1 substantiated, no recommendations, 1 substantiated charges, 2 substantiated formalized training, 3 substantiated command discipline A, 2 alleged victim uncooperative, 4 complainant uncooperative, 1 complaint withdrawn, 11 exonerated, 9 unfounded, 16 unsubstantiated. How do you have all of these things on your record and you are still allowed to terrorize the black community? Because I want to keep this in mind. And I got to make this point again. He pistol whipped him, and according to the officer said it himself, you tried to take off on me. So taking off, according to that police officer, which I didn't see, was a reason why he justified pistol whipping him. There's plenty of good officers out there. Plenty, right? These police officers, especially the racist ones, or the covert, they think they covert, but their action speaks louder than anything, right? You have a lot of good police officers out there. So if this cop would have seen anything resembling a gun, that gun butt would have been a bullet, right? There you have police officers out there that make arrests with perpetrators with guns. I could say by this police officer's actions, if he would have even smelled a gun, he would have shot that man. In 2022, and I'm going to be transparent, this same officer shot a man in Brownsville, Brooklyn, because that man came at him with 2 knives in his hand. I've seen the video, and I felt it was justified. In this case, I do not feel him gun button that man. I don't care if he had 100 prior arrests. You don't know about the arrest until after you make the actual arrest and you process them. So at that time, you did not know about no arrest. So I want to hear about no arrest. You pistol whipped him because you said he attempted to flee, right? Now, let me give you guys some more information on this police officer. And this is according to the Daily News. At the time, he was a sergeant. Sergeant Adam Munoz, meanwhile, averaged 430 hours of overtime a year from 2015 to 2018. He was named in 16 lawsuits during that time, which cost the city $910,001 in settlements. You have one officer. One officer costing New York City taxpayers almost $1 million. NYPD has a problem with a word called accountability and another word called integrity. NYPD has a habit of pointing fingers at everyone else. Oh, the legislators, the DA, the judges. The legislators, the DA, and the judges is not the reason why your job is going down the drain. The lack of accountability in the NYPD empowered those DAs, those judges, and those legislators to take the type of actions that they take on the NYPD. If NYPD had any sense of accountability, they wouldn't have to worry about judges, DAs, and legislators. NYPD is not in the business of policing themselves. They are in the business of policing everyone else, especially the black community. Especially the black. Me, myself, once again, I've been harassed and targeted by the NYPD, sued and won. And what these cops is not talking about is that, you know, they like to throw shots at the CCRB and say that the CCRB, you know, they don't be accurate, this and that. In my case, and I'm speaking from experience, you know what happened? The cops told on each other in my case. They told who did what to me and who broke what. They did that. So we not going to believe that this part of the system is not working when it comes to holding the NYPD accountable. How do you have, and I need to put this on the screen again, how do you have one officer costing New York City taxpayers close to $1 million? What other profession can this happen in as a civil servant and you still have your job? Now, like I said, this captain, Munoz, whatever his last name, no disrespect. Maybe he was suffering from PTSD of the incident when he shot the guy in Brownsville. Because, you know, shooting human beings, no matter what the situation is not a normal occurrence, right? It's not something that you really get used to. We see soldiers go overseas, they be in combat, they kill people, they come back here, they shell shock, right? What does the NYPD do once a police officer experiences a traumatic event such as a shooting? What happens? Because that will always be in the back of your mind. And we've seen it with the vigilanteism that this police officer did in that video. Anyone with a sane mind, we're not talking about with a police mind, because police think very weird at times. Not all police. I hate to paint y'all with a broad brush. It's not a lot of police. But most of the police officers, or a lot of the police officers, they think like that. Right, they don't think sanely. Oh, we're a cop. We giving you a direct order. Y'all dealing with grown men, and you got these young cops that don't know anything about our community talking about, I gave you a lawful order. Sir, who the hell do you think you are? Yes, it makes more sense to comply, but you want to know what? These Long Island cops come into New York City to work, where they bypassing all these, the little police forces in Long Island that they could work in and make more money and be safer. Why are they so eager to come work in black communities to police black people? I don't want to hear that, oh, it's a long time to get on the, to get on a list, this and that. You know how many other police forces pay way more money than NYPD? Why are you guys so eager to come work in black community? Answer that. Y'all, and let me tell you something about the police officers on social media. They never write up under their real names, they real aliens, right? And they make excuses, oh, it's in the patrol guide, there's certain things we can't say. If what you're saying is right and correct, how can you get in trouble? See, the problem is that these NYPD officers like to work up under these aliases on social media because they know that their true thoughts, that what they actually write on social media, will get them into some deep, deep, deep sugar honey iced tea. For a fact. A lot of these police officers, they do not understand black folks. They watch the music videos, they listen to the music, they watch their movies. They probably have one or two black friends. They think they know black people. When Timothy Stansberry got killed on Lexington Avenue, playing on a roof of his building, and that officer shot him because he was scared. See, a black cop from the communities that we come from would know that kids play on a roof. There's nothing to be scared and startled about. Right, but you would need that experience. A lot of these police officers, especially the Long Island ones, have never seen a project building until they started working for NYPD. It's a fact. That's why I am with, if you're a cop in New York City, you should work in the city, you should work in the community in which you live. Police your own community. Keep it safe. I also believe that when cops such as Captain Munoz have 16 lawsuits totaling close to $1 million that the taxpayers got to pay for, I believe that if they are sued, it should come out of their pensions or their pay if they still active. Because these police officers, they know if they make a mistake or they do something wrong, they will not be held financially liable. The people of New York City, New York State, will be held financially liable. So they commit these acts, these egregious acts, with impunity because there's no real mechanism to hold them accountable. Police officers don't care if they lose 25 vacation days. They don't care if they lose 5 vacation days. They get a re-instruction. They don't care. That's why they continue to do the things that they do. Now, to get into the discussion of a good cop, bad cop, right? I don't believe in good cop, bad cops. I may use the term, but I don't believe in good cop, bad cops. I believe in good people, bad people. That's it. You have good people that's police officers, that's transit workers, that's correction officers, that's firefighters. You have bad people in those same positions, right? But when you have a police officer, someone who had took an oath to uphold the law, it's worse than a firefighter having that same ideology. It's worse than a transit worker having that same ideology. It's worse than a sanitation worker having that same ideology. When you have police officers with that ideology, it's very detrimental to the communities in which they serve. The problem with policing, right? I personally do not believe that there's a large amount of police officers that are bad people. It seems that way, and I'm going to tell you why it seems that way. Because of this blue wall of silence. You can have a cop who is morally right, everything is right with them, and then they witness a bad cop do something that they're not supposed to do. That good cop remains quiet because of that blue wall of silence. They keep that bad cop secret, right? Because if that cop tells, other officers look at that cop as a snitch, you're a zero. Picture that. They want the communities to snitch on each other, but they don't even want to snitch on each other. They don't want to be honorable. They don't have no integrity, accountability, or real professionalism. Yes. This is a fact. I believe that there's a small number of police officers who are bad people, but it's amplified because the good people watch these bad people act and they say nothing. What does that remind you of? Let's be 100% transparent, and you guys can call in 563-999-3714. Let's be 100% transparent. Yes, it reminds you of our communities. How many times we see people in our communities do horrible things, kill each other, stab each other, rob each other, sell drugs, and we don't say anything because of the consequence that may come with telling. It's the same thing with these police officers. My police officer friends tell me that when another cop write over another cop's PBA card, like if I'm getting pulled over and I flash a PBA card and the cops still give me a ticket, and I tell the person, let's say if it's a high-ranking person, that, you know, this officer wrote me a ticket and I showed them my card and they ain't give me no courtesy. You know what they do? They turn that police officer locker outside upside down. They put their locker somewhere else. They do things to initiate fear within these people. The same thing in our communities. So when people say that the NYPD is like a gang, they not lying. They are not lying. Because the very few bad cops overshadows the good cops. This is a fact. This is a whole fact. And once again, there's absolutely no accountability. No accountability. How can that officer feel comfortable pistol whipping that man? Should he have listened? And when the cop said, get out the car, from the video that we seen, should he have listened? Yeah, he should have listened. Because when you're dealing with a vigilante cop, such as Captain Adam Munoz, he could have been dead. All because of whatever that police officer was going through. And let's put things in perspective. Police officers at the time is on heightened alert. They just buried a police officer. And once again, nobody does this job. Police officers, the good cops or the good people or the bad people, to not make it back home to their families in one piece. And you got these cops out here, like from the video that I showed, with the mentality that they saying that I'm going to make it to my family by any means necessary. And there's nothing wrong with that. If the threat matches the threat. But there was absolutely no reason for this captain to hit this guy in the head with his firearm. There's absolutely no excuse for that. And we're not going to act like there is one. The copologists have plenty of excuses for whatever. NYPD can't do nothing wrong in a lot of cops' eyes. a lot of people who want to be cops in their eyes. They don't do anything wrong. Now, I'm going to play this video again, and I want to give y'all some insight of what that officer should have done.
Hey!
Oh, get out!
Recording. I am.
Yo, bro.
Hey! Bro! Bro! Don't do it! Don't do it! Stop! 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 Bro! Bro! Please don't! Stop! Stop! Look at me! Look at me!
After gun button, pistol whipping that man, having backup there came after the incident, you still talking about taking egregious action on him with his head bleeding after you smashed him inside, upside the head with a metal pipe. That's what that basically is. And you talking about tase him. No body cam on. No nothing. Right? Now, it was said that this captain was going to work, and he mysteriously pulled over a black guy in a very nice luxury vehicle for no reason. No body camera on whatsoever. And by himself. Knowing how dangerous a car stop can be, once again, they just buried an officer less than a week ago. Knowing how dangerous that particular job action can be, he decided to take it on by himself. Why didn't he call for backup once pulling over that vehicle? Backup keeps him safe. It keeps the person that he's targeting safe. It keeps the surrounding people safe. What he decided to do was take the gun and be at point-blank range with him, where anything could have happened. If that individual was on one or was nervous or probably had his own PTSD and went for that firearm, it could have been deadly for anyone that was there. But when you're dealing with vigilantism and tunnel vision, you're not thinking about that. When you have 16 lawsuits, 49 allegations, 7 substantiated claims, and cost New York City taxpayers close to $1 million, you're not thinking about that. Because at that point, you literally think that you are above the law. Facts. When your place of employment is only taking vacation days from you, but you costed people of New York close to $1 million, that's not accountability. That's not accountability. And they are trying to gaslight us, NYPD. They are attempting to gaslight us to act like nothing is wrong, like we don't have a clue as to what's happening. That's what they want us to think. And I want to bring up this screenshot real quick. And it's from Harry Siegel, a a journalist with the Daily News. He said the NYPD's bosses, with the blessings of their ultimate boss, Mayor Adams, are pretending that writing critically about them amounts to slamming cops. Nope. My Sunday Daily News column, he just wrote another article. And NYPD attempted to do was try to come after his credibility after he made a mistake and put it in the newspaper and said there was 10 homicides in the subway system this year, right, where it was only 4, right? Minor mistake. NYPD attempted to crucify him, right? Now, why, when it comes to criticizing the NYPD or criticizing the tactic of the NYPD, why do the copologists, which consist of cops and some of the public, think that you hate all of NYPD? They do it to me. They think that I hate all of NYPD. I make it clear that I have many friends who I'm very cool with and speak to all the time in all types of positions throughout NYPD. How can they say that I'm anti-police? How can they say that? You know what I'm anti? I am anti-corruption. I am anti-cowboy vigilante police. I am anti the police officers who killed Eric Gardner. I am anti the police officers who decided to stick a plunger up Abner Louima's behind. I'm anti-police who killed Amadou Diallo. I'm anti-police who choked out Anthony Baez. I'm anti-police who killed Timothy Stansberry. I'm anti the police who pulled me out of my car unlawfully and harassed me. That's what I'm anti. Yes, you can criticize certain aspects that you do not agree with and still not hate the whole entire thing. See, when people do that, you have to pay attention. Because think about other things that their ideology compares to. Let's talk about black people. This is why they think all black people are the same. When you don't like one black person, you don't like them all, because that's how they think. That's how they think. They feel like if you criticize one aspect of NYPD, you're talking about hating the entire NYPD. That is so untrue. That is so untrue. That's why my police officer friends laugh when they see that online, or when police officers in a secret WhatsApp chat groups, and they got my picture floating around in these WhatsApp chat groups. My friends come back and tell me, absolutely no accountability in the NYPD. And what they try to do is they like to throw this excuse. Oh, you never wore the uniform. You never wore the badge. You don't know what it's like to be a police officer. I would like to address that. My brother Edwin Raymond just put up the perfect tweet regarding that. He said, it's a very insular culture. The thought is essentially, until you wear a vest and run towards gunfire, please don't tell me how to do my job. Think about that. Think about that, right? And this, he's a police officer, or he retired now, right? Think about that. That's their narrative. It's a deflection. So they would not be held accountable for whatever the pressing issue is during that time. Oh, you don't know what it is to put on a uniform, wear a vest, run towards gunfire, blah, 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 blah. So guess what happens when a police officer do not agree with their narrative? And this happened on Twitter today with Edwin. Oh, Edwin, I know your whole history. You was a transit cop. You never was a cop on patrol. See, look, That's what I'm telling you guys. They say the transit cops are lazy. This is the running thing in NYPD. I'm not lying about that. That person tweeted Edwin that. He's a cop, and he tweeted Edwin that. Right? Oh, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. You spent your career and mostly in transit. Then you went to community affairs. So now they create division within their own ranks because that now they saying that subway cops, transit cops are not real police officers because they don't go on patrol. They not a part of anti-crime units and other type of harassing units in our community. Let me not say that they harassing. I appreciate the police. I just don't appreciate abusive police, and I just want to be clear on that, right? But when a police officer criticized them, then they start picking away at that police officer, right? There's no accountability when it comes to civilians critiquing NYPD. There's no accountability when you come from one of their own critiquing. The copologists go crazy. And one reason that I support Edwin Raymond is because he didn't hide behind a Twitter handle or a social media handle. No matter if they want to say, well, he worked in subways, he wasn't a real cop, the lazy cops are down there, I don't care. One thing he did that you guys would never do, especially while you're on the job, you would never speak truth to power publicly like Edwin Raymond has done for the past probably decade. You guys won't have the balls to do what Edwin Raymond did for his career, to be met with these hurdles because he was talking truth to power. He had to fight to be a sergeant. They tried to set him up with that. He had to fight to be a lieutenant. They tried to set him up with that. He said on my last show that he had a white commanding officer that if you gave a white person a ticket or even arrested them, you were grilled because you locked up somebody white. I'm quite sure Edwin was not the only person that dealt with that within NYPD. I'm quite sure the other 11 officers that whistleblowed with him heard that. I'm quite sure this is some of the culture in NYPD and people decide to stay quiet. I will always salute Edwin Raymond for being brave on his fight because on social media, y'all, they talk about, you know, these kids in their basements with Twitter fingers. Nobody got more Twitter fingers than the NYPD cop under Elias on social media. Facts. That's a fact. And let's be clear. Do police officers have hard jobs, difficult jobs? Absolutely. It's a very dangerous job. It's a, when the job is done right, and there's no bias, there's no prejudice, there's no racism, there's honor in there. There's honor there. But that is not the case with a lot of these bad people in the NYPD. I salute police officers all the time. I have conversations with them. I have good relationships with them. I just don't like what I've seen in that video at all. Do not like it. Do not like it. And I'm hoping that people in the community in Bed-Stuy, I grew up in Bed-Stuy, so I'm familiar with that community a lot, the 7-9 and the 8-1, right? Mm-hmm. And I have great relationships with the people in the 8-1. I really hope that they store a rally. They go to the precinct and speak to the officers over there and let them know that that captain got to go to another precinct. We don't want that type of policing in our community. If they saying the guy had drugs on him, his license plate is tense. He was driving with a suspended license. All right. You're going to make the arrest. He's going to go to court and have to answer those charges. But no way in your mind that you think that it was right for you to pistol whip that man. And when we look into the actions of that specific police officer, once again, 15 complaints, 49 allegations, 7 substantiated. He costed New York City taxpayers $910,000 in his career so far. With this latest gun butt, he's guaranteed to be over $1 million in his career. And there's absolutely no accountability, people. There's absolutely no accountability with this, with a lot of the situations like this. None. None whatsoever. Now, what I need y'all to do, if you're watching right now, please subscribe to the channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. If you're watching on Facebook, share it out. Twitter, retweet it. Leave a comment. Whether you agree with me or not, leave a comment. Let's have a discussion. We got to discuss these things. Very important. If you really support the channel, you could donate via Cash App. It's above my head. $Progressive Action 100. I also have the link to the Cash App in the description of this video. You donate that way. And I like to tell everyone, look, if you encounter a vigilante, unhinged cowboy police officer, just comply so you can make it back home to your family. Please do that. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.